Well, a very warm welcome to our midweek meeting. This is the first time we've done this in this way. It's the 24th of March, 2020. And may God bless us and meet with us as we join together around his word and in prayer. Now, this evening, I'd like us to read together Psalm 42. I trust you've already been able to sing. The hymn that we listed has a deer pants for the water brooks. So let's open our Bibles and let's read the word of God together. Psalm 42. It's to the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Well, this psalm was written by a man who was feeling the absence of God. He imagined himself to be just like a deer, panting for the water brooks. That was his soul's state. He felt the absence of God. He felt dry. He felt barren. And so his soul went after the Lord. It's a man not only feeling the absence of God, but it's a man who feels the absence of fellowship. He remembers those wonderful times when he went with a multitude to Mount Zion, when he participated in those joyful gatherings of God's people, when they worshipped the living God and heard his word. He deeply missed those times of fellowship. He felt that the hand of God had gone out against him. All your waves and billows have gone over me, he said. And yet, in this place of isolation, in this place where he's lacking fellowship, and where he feels God's hand has gone out against him, and his enemies are reproaching him, their hope revives as he takes himself in hand, as he begins to preach to himself and talk to himself, and as he remembers the goodness of God. We see this man going from the depths of despair, and he goes to the place of confidence, of certainty, and of hope. Well, last night we heard Boris Johnson's talk, and extra restrictions were given upon us. For some of you, you may be worrying, maybe thinking, well, what am I going to do over the next 3 weeks and beyond? How am I going to fill my time up? Maybe some of you are feeling loneliness even more acutely. Well, this is a psalm for you, and it's a psalm for me. So we're going to look at this psalm this evening and see the contrast. First of all, I just want to go through it with you and show the depths that this man was in, what he was up against, but then show the hope that he had in the Lord, how the Lord would strengthen him in this difficult situation. And having done that, I want to ask the question, What do you do when your heart is overwhelmed? And we're going to see there are four things that we can do. Music is good for us. And this was written to the chief musician, the royal choir master. He was to set it to music. It was given by the sons of Korah, a family of singers. Music is good for us. Saul discovered that it soothed his soul as David played the harp for him. And some of you have been listening to Christian music, to worship songs, or you've been going over the words of hymns, and your heart has been encouraged as you've sung along to those hymns. You know, it's not just the music, is it? It's the words. That's what really matters. The words that direct us to God. The words that help us to express our emotions. The words that enable us to fix our mind upon the truth of God. So it begins in verses 1 and 2. And this is his complaint. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul longs for you, thirsts for you, longs for you, pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Do you see what he's up against? He's up against barrenness. He's up against dryness. He's up against the feeling that God is absent. When shall I appear before God? When shall I know his presence? When shall I feel his fullness again? Oh, I'm longing for that. That's what he's up against. That's his chief complaint. But secondly, in verse 3, he's up against enemies. You see, when people speak ill of you, when people knock you down, when people criticize you, when people mock your faith, when people taunt you, that puts your soul into a very low condition. And sometimes in that position, it's hard to find God. So the two things are linked. Look what he says in verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? You see, it's the name of God that he's concerned for. People are mocking his God. It's not just his faith, but they're putting his God down, saying that his God's nowhere, that his God isn't intervening. And that brings him to tears. What else is he up against? Well, he's up against the turbulence of his own emotions within him. All these things are linked. He has to preach to himself. Why are you disquieted within me, he says. And that word disquieted is also translated in other sections of the Bible as roaring, the roaring of the sea. He's knowing a tempest within. He's knowing an inner turmoil in his soul. He's up against that. He's also up against the thought that perhaps God has forgotten him altogether. Perhaps God has left him. Look at this. We read in verse 9 these words. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? And then verse 10, he says this, as with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? His enemies are very cruel. Their words are crushing. And I believe that had a crushing effect upon his physical frame. He was brought so low that not only were their words like the crushing of bones, but his very body felt it. His spirit was affected. He was bowed down in his body also. And he expresses his experience in this way in verse 7. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. There were deep groans within his soul. And then he says this, all your waves and billows have gone over me. Lord, I'm feeling that your hand has gone out against me. I'm feeling that I'm going under. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. The contrast, that's the negative, but it's not all gloom and doom. Look at the positive. Verse 5, the second half. He says this, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And he repeats that in verse 11. Hope in God. For the help of his countenance, I shall yet praise him. And then look at this wonderful verse, verse 8. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. I may be knowing tears now in the day, but the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night I may be knowing tears, but in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. It may be tears and pain now, but I'll know that time when I'm singing with joy to the Lord. I can't help but thinking of Paul and Silas in the prison cell, there at midnight, singing the praises of God and praying to him. You see, in this psalm, the psalmist goes from the depths into a place of confidence and hope in the Lord. And that should encourage you during these next few weeks. If you find yourself in a very low position, wondering what's ahead, and you're struggling, well, I would encourage you to seek God. And we're going to look at some of the remedies that are given in this psalm of how we need to overcome these low feelings. But just to remind you, many of God's servants have suffered in this way. Think of Elijah. Got to the point where he wanted to die. He asked the Lord to take his life from him. Think of Hannah, year after year after year. Penina provoked her. When she prayed, there was great turbulence within her soul, and the Lord heard her prayer. Think of David, all the struggles he went through, all those years of persecution by Saul, and then suffering with his family. Absalom opposed him, David fleeing from Jerusalem. What depths the servants of God have gone into. But each time, the Lord has lifted his servants out of the pit. So then, let's consider some of these remedies. What do we do when our heart is overwhelmed? Well, the first thing I want to say to you is this. Do not let your emotions rule you. Feelings of disappointment, when things haven't gone well, deep disappointment, can actually bring us to a place of self-pity and even a wallowing in our sorrows. Don't let that happen. Rejection or rebuffal is very hard to take. The feeling that somebody doesn't want you, they're against you, they're opposed to you. Well, in that situation, it's very easy to nurse your wounds and to lick those wounds and to refuse to be comforted. Then there's the feeling of loneliness and isolation. Times we can be in a situation where we wonder, does anybody really understand what I'm going through? And does anybody really care? And these negative emotions can overwhelm us at times. In verse 5, we see the psalmist, with all the negative emotions that he's experiencing, taking a hold of himself. What does he do? He says this, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" Self speaks to self. Here he is. He preaches to himself. He gives a sermon to himself. He tells himself, if God is my God, if he's a great God, if he's done all these things in the past for me, is there not a future for me? Why should I be disquieted within me? I should hope in God for the help of his countenance. I will yet praise him. See, he takes himself in hand. Spurgeon says this, faith must reason with fear. Hope must argue with sorrow. Isn't that lovely? Have you done that? The psalmist realises that he needs to do this over and over again. So it's not only found in verse 5, these words, but verse 11 also. Why are you cast down on my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. And so numbers of times you'll need to take yourself in hand. And what do you do? How do you preach yourself? Well, you take the promises of God. You take the word of God. That the word of God would shape your mind and shape your thinking. Not all these negative emotions. You can use verses like this. All things do work together for good. Even this, yes, it works together for good. I do love God. The bad and the good works together for good. You can also say this, if God is for me, who can be against me? If I'm his child, if I'm bought with the precious blood of Christ, if he's bringing me to glory, if he's sanctifying me, well, what can be against me? So you take hold of the promises of God. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. That's his promise. I will not depend upon outward circumstances and give way because of what's happening. I will not give way to my emotions. No, I will say nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So then, we need to take ourselves in hand. But secondly, and perhaps this should have been firstly, but secondly, we need to tell God everything. Look at verse 6. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Tell God your sadness. Tell him the depths that you're in. He's very bold. Look at this verse 9. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Yes, you can even tell him that. There's times when we can share a burden. We've just had a sermon on it. We need to be willing to open up and share our burdens and shoulder the burdens of others. But we know that there are times where another person just cannot cope with receiving our burden, and we need to keep it to ourselves. But not just keep it to ourselves. We must cast our burdens upon the Lord because he cares for us. And I'd say one other thing. When you're in this state, yes, don't overburden people. Share your burdens, but don't overburden them. But don't make foolish, rash decisions. First go to God and wait upon him. Elijah thought that he was the only one who was honouring God, the only one keeping to the old ways. He'd lost all of us, all sense of perspective in his depression. He was foolish. He asked God to take his life from him. But at the same time, he was wise in that he went to God and he prayed to God. And the Lord was gracious. The Lord restored his physical health. And then the Lord brought him to a position of hearing his small, quiet, still voice. And Elijah was restored. So don't make big decisions. Don't make rash decisions. You'll live to regret it if you make big or rash decisions at the time when you're in the depths, because you haven't got that emotional equilibrium that you need. You're not stable. You haven't got the right perspective. Rather, go to God in prayer. And then thirdly, we've said, first of all, talk to yourself. Secondly, we've said, talk to God. And then thirdly, remember God's blessings to you. Verse 4, he's reminding himself of the time when he went up to the temple on a pilgrim feast, knowing joy and festivity with the people of God. And we need to do that. We need to look back at all those precious times of fellowship that we've had with God's people to encourage our souls. But not only that, he says this in verse 6. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, and from the heights of Hermon, and from the hill Mizar. Maybe the psalmist had no sweet times of fellowship with the Lord beside the river Jordan. Maybe he'd known great fellowship with the Lord as he was on that hill Mizar. And he's remembering those times of sweet fellowship, and they're coming to his mind. And so he looks up to the Lord and said, I'll remember you. And hope revives. Maybe he's actually in those places. Maybe he's by the River Jordan. Maybe he's in the heights of Hermon or the hill Mizar. And he's remembering events that the Lord did there. God opened the Jordan River. And God's people went through into the promised land. What a great God you are. On the heights of Hermon, in that region, God defeated the enemies of God's people. King Sion, King Og. And he's remembering that. When God's people are facing enemies and opposition, God is able to open up the river. He's able to bring them into the promised land. He's able to overcome their enemies. You see, we must use places and events and times, thinking about them, mulling them over in our memory, thinking of the goodness of God and the way in which he's acted in history to help our hope, revive. Don't wallow in your sorrows. Remember God. Remember what he has done. Above all, remember his victory. The victory that was won at Calvary over your sin. The victory over death. The victory over hell. Focus your mind upon the acts of God. Remember him. And lastly, how do we remedy these times of sorrow and difficulty? Well, it is a matter of waiting upon God. God in his own time will lift us up. But you know, as we wait upon him, we need to resolve to hope in him. George Muller, he said this, that having gone through many trials through his life, in caring for thousands of orphans in Bristol, he said this, "Our business is to hope in God, and in the Lord's own time, help will come. On the hundreds and thousands of times I have found over the past 70 years and 4 months, whenever it seemed impossible that help would come, it did come." Isn't that glorious? Here's a man who's put in difficult straits, not just hundreds of occasions, but thousands. And each time, in God's time, help came. Think of that pastor in Italy, dying of coronavirus in the hospital in Lombardy. What a desperate situation to be in, but quietly witnessing to other patients, witnessing to the doctors, reading his Bible. How he knew hope in his heart of glory, and how he pointed others to Christ. And how some of those doctors who were atheists became believers in God. Do you see what the Lord can do in difficult circumstances? Hope in him. That's what he tells himself. Why are you disquieted? Hope in God. I will yet praise him. Above all, keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus. Corrie ten Boom once said this, "Look around and you'll be distressed. Look inside and you'll be depressed. Look at Jesus and you'll be at rest." Let us look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Brothers and sisters, we may go through times of isolation, of a lack of fellowship, and of deep sorrow. But let's keep our eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We sometimes sing these words, "There is a hope that lifts my weary head, a consolation strong against despair, that when this world has plunged me in its deepest pit, I find the Saviour there. Through present sufferings, future's fears, he whispers courage in my ear, for I am safe in everlasting arms, and they will lead me home." May God bless you. May he help us now as we seek his face in prayer. Please do sing together, number 657, if you're using the Christian Hymns app. But if you want to sing it from YouTube, sing along, "Thou hidden source of calm repose." Let us sing to God with all our hearts. And then let's join together in prayer as we go through those prayer points. But let me just pray briefly with you now. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we bless you for the word of God. We thank you for the psalmist who penned these words, which are so apt for us. And Lord, if there's any amongst us who are already feeling very low in spirit, Father, we ask that in your mercy that you would lift them up. Remember Lorna. We remember Maya Griffiths, Lord, who have carers coming in vulnerable situations. Oh, Father, would you strengthen them? Would you keep them? Remember those who are working in hospitals or those out in the community dealing with this coronavirus outbreak. Father, have your hand upon them. And help us now to seek your face in prayer. May, Lord, you speak to our hearts as we seek you in prayer. May you work in our spirits. May you sanctify us, Heavenly Father. May you make us like the Lord Jesus. May you give us repentance, Lord. And may we have our eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he went into Gethsemane. We thank you that he went to tremendous sorrow for us. We thank you that he understands all the sorrows and all the pain that we go through. Thank you that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Thank you that he's not indifferent. We thank you that he's able to give us comfort and to aid us and strengthen us and lift us up. We thank you for the man of sorrows who endured such grief, who carried our sorrows and bore our sorrows. And Lord, we just thank you that he went to the cross for us. We bless you. We praise you. We worship you. We thank you for us. The best is yet to come. Help us to remember that you are taking us home to glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.